wonder in my soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we give you the highest praise for what a mighty God you are. And Father, you have done great things. Eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor has it entered into our heart the fullness of all the great things that you have done. But in these days and in these times, Father, you are making it known unto your people. Line up on line. Precept upon precept. And for that, Father, we say thank you for taking us higher and higher and higher and higher until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ, Father. And this is your doing, my Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are revealing in these last days, Father, what you are doing. We thank you for what the church is doing, Father. We thank you for what people is doing, government is doing, Father, the good that's in the government, Father. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the earth today, my Father. And what you are doing in the earth today, you call it the kingdom of God. The governing influence of the King of Kings over territory, Father, impacting it with your will, your desire, and your intent, Father. Producing a citizenry of citizens, my Father, that's displaying your character and your nature and your will, your purpose and intent for the creation of the earth and for the creation of mankind and placing him on the earth, Father. For you are enlightening the eyes of our understanding, my Father God, and filling us with the knowledge of your will, my Father. And Lord, you've made that known to us, Father, and I pray that you continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we might know what your will is for our lives here upon the earth, Father. For you have constituted it and placed it, Father, even in our prayer that we pray all the time, my Father. For you said, Lord, Jesus said, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then the next passage, Father, you said, Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Where? On earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. And then you said, now give us this day our daily bread. Everything that we have need of to help you accomplish that. What? Your kingdom on the earth and your will being done on the earth, Father. And Lord, you have invited us all the way to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need, Father, so that we can know that, Lord. You summoned us through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil into your very presence, my Father, where it all begun, Lord, in that atmosphere and in that environment, my Father, the atmosphere and environment of your literal presence, my Father, in our lives here on this earth, my Father God. And Lord, that's what you are summoning us into, and we take you up on that invitation. So here we are, Father, in your presence, my Father. Now feed us, Father, from the King's table, the bread of life, Father, which is designed to build us up and give us our inheritance among those who are set apart, sanctified. What's our inheritance, Father? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundations of the world, my Father. My Lord, be it unto us according to your words. Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves under your ministry in the earth today, and we ask that you would lead and guide us into the truth of everything that Jesus Christ comes to bring to humanity, the reality of where we come from, who we are, why we're here, the potential that we have on the inside of us, and our final destination. So speak, Holy Spirit, through these lips of clay to minister to all our needs. In the precious name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, hallelujah. Once again, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to go into the presence of the Most High God with all of you under the sound of my voice. And my prayer that you don't take that lightly. Listen, if you tune into this radio broadcast, then boy, it's a purpose for it. And that purpose is to draw you closer to God until you men realize that the way has been made for you and I, men, to come all the way back into the presence of the Most High God, that the Holy Spirit can once again live on the inside of us, so that the divine connection between God and man and heaven and earth can be, watch this, reestablished in our lives here upon the earth. For what purpose? So that we could know what is the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of the power that's available to all of us. What power is that, Arthur? The mighty working power of the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that took the word that God spoke and Jesus spoke and brought it into reality in the lives of mankind upon the earth. So when God summons us to come into his presence, it's because he wants to minister to us the word of life. Hallelujah. Not just any word, not just a religious word, but the word of life, the word of the King. Hallelujah. The word of the Most High God. And watch this, not just with enticing word of our wisdom and our knowledge, but in demonstration and in power. In other words, let me say it plainly. God want to manifest his word in our lives. He don't just want us to preach it and teach it and sing about it and dance about it and have church about it. What brings him glory is when that word is manifested in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. When his word is manifested in our lives, not just believed on, but believed on and manifested. That's what brings glory to his name. That's the full expression. The glory of something is the full expression of it. Expression of it. Hallelujah. The full expression of God's word in our lives. That what God say about us, boy, be just not man learn, but boy, that it might, that is manifested in our lives. Every word that he speak over us, he wanted to be manifested in our lives. When he say, boy, I'm the Lord thy God, and I take sickness away from the midst of you, he want that manifested in our lives. Well, what you mean? Well, sickness be taken away from the midst of us. He want that manifested in our lives. When he say, I supply all your need according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus your Lord, he want that manifested in our lives. So, well, man, we don't have no need, man. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And if the Lord is our shepherd, listen, if the Lord is our shepherd, I ain't say my pastor or your pastor. I say when the Lord is our shepherd, then you won't want for nothing. Glory to God. Even if you stray away, boy, he'll leave the 99, come get you. Ooh, the Lord is your shepherd. Now, if you stray away from the church, the pastor might not be able to come get you. Thank God for the pastor being an under-shepherd, but I'm talking about the Lord, who the owner of everything. If he your shepherd, then, boy, who the Lord, the owner, then he's responsible for everything that concerns your life. And, boy, we make him, man, I'm talking about not make him, he is, but if we allow him to be Lord of our life, then, man, I mean, boy, we won't want for nothing. Hallelujah. Well, because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is the one who watches over us. The Lord is the one to see to us, boy, that we be led by the still waters into green pastures. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death that's in this world system, man, that we live in, we won't have to worry about nothing. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And he is. Hallelujah. Whether you accept it or not, whether you realize it or not, hey, the Lord is our shepherd, if you're a born-again believer. And, boy, when you take him up on who he really is, then, boy, that obligates him. Obligates him what? To look after his sheep. Hey, Lord. Well, it obligates him to look after you and I. But if you have him, boy, if he's not Lord of your life, then that's a different story. But if he's Lord of our lives, then, boy, he's going to watch over his sheep, like I said. He's going to take care of his sheep. Even, like I say, even if one stray away, he's going to come in back and find that lost one. Hallelujah. Because he said, boy, listen here, Father, all those that you gave me, I haven't lost the one. Glory to God. But that's providing that the Lord is your shepherd. Hallelujah. And you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, where you can say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my God, and all my trust is in him. And listen, if you got all of your trust in him, I mean, not just some of it, not just a part of it, but if you got all your trust in the Father in heaven, your Lord, your King, your shepherd, even though you walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, you won't fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. Glory to God. And boy, I thank God that he is. So I say it again, what a privilege it is for you and I to be able to go into the secret place of the Most High God and obtain that grace and mercy to help us every time we need it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege, what an honor it is that God has pointed unto every last one of us that golden scepter of righteousness. Know what that means? When a king points to a citizen or a member of the kingdom, the golden scepter of righteousness, that means they can come all the way up to his throne of grace and make their petitions known unto him. I mean, you can have an audience with God. Glory to be to God. An audience with God. So you can come and listen. He didn't just say come. He said come boldly. You know what coming boldly means? To come without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Even though your sins are like scarlet, he's washed us white as snow for that purpose. Why? So that man, an unholy man and woman, boy, that's washed in the blood of the Lamb can become a holy being. For what purpose? So that you can come back into that divine relationship with your Father in heaven. So that you can come back into his presence. So that you can come all the way up to his throne of grace and get that mercy and that grace to help you every time that you need. So that you could get your deliverance. So that you could get your healing. So that you could get your provision. So that you could get salvation. In whatever area that you might need salvation in. But the key to it is, you got to know that. That's why God spoke to the prophet of Hosea and said, listen, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? A lack of knowledge of what God is doing. I'm not talking about what the church is doing. I'm not talking about the program that we put on and all the services that we have and all the things that we do even in our communities. All those are good things. But I'm talking about a greater thing, what God is doing. You know what God is doing? Reestablishing his governing influence of heaven back to earth. The governing influence of the territory of heaven. Watch this. Back to the earth. How the earth is really supposed to be governed. How the earth is really supposed to be reigned. What he desired to be going on this earth. You know what he desired to be going on this earth? that it be on, in this earth just like it is in heaven. That earth be a colony of heaven, an outpost of heaven. So that the same things, the same lifestyle, the same atmosphere, the same environment that heaven consists of be up on this earth. In other words, God establishing, boy, the kingdom of heaven on earth. God establishing, man, all that heaven consists of, all that heaven is, all that environment of heaven, all the peace of heaven, all the joy of heaven, all the characteristics of heaven, everything that heaven consists of, the wealth of heaven. Listen, ain't no poverty in heaven. The streets is paved with gold. Ain't no sickness in heaven. Ain't no want in heaven. Boy, everything that you have need of, man. That's why he said, man, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything that you have need of is in that place, and it be added unto you on a daily basis. Everything that you have need of. That's why Jesus made that statement in Matthew 6:33. They first asked him, Lord, what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink and how are we going to make it and everything else. And Jesus said this here, hey, listen, you don't have to take no thought for all of that. Why? Because your heavenly Father, your source and sustainer of your life, he know that you have need of that. Your heavenly Father know what you have need of, and he promised to supply all your needs. Not just your wants, because your wants might not be in line with his will and his desire and his way of accomplishing his original intent and plan and purpose for our lives. But he promised to supply everything that you need, what you need. You need, boy, your Father in heaven. You need the Holy Spirit. You need, boy, the presence of the Lord in your life. You need God. You need the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because everything that you're seeking after, everything that you're going after, everything that you desire in your heart, man, all that's in the kingdom of heaven. That's how important it is for you, man, to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, and not only come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, but come on back into that place. Come on back and get your citizenship, man, back in right standings, man, in that place. See, it's one thing to be a member of a church, but it's another thing to be a citizen of the kingdom. So you can be a member of the church and not have your citizenship in order. You can be a member of a church and don't know nothing about your citizenship that's in heaven. That's why Philippians say, boy, our citizenship is in heaven. You originated in heaven. You came from heaven to the earth. You didn't fall from heaven. God brought you here to the earth for a purpose. And why? Because God's original plan and God's original intent was, boy, to establish his governing influence of his territory called heaven to a territory that he created for you and I called the earth. That's his original plan. What? To make earth a colony of heaven. Why? So the same thing that's going on in heaven may be going on the earth. His plan of doing that is through his family of sons called mankind. Some in male bodies, some in female bodies. And listen, his original purpose, his purpose don't never change. His plans to accomplish that purpose sometimes changes. But his original purpose and intent and desire and will for our life, that ain't gonna never change. And boy, it's written in your Bible, man, in the first two chapters of the Bible, the first two chapters of Genesis. What God's original intent and plan and purpose was for your life. God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And then, boy, he then created you and I and brought you and I down from heaven to the earth, formed a body for you and I to live in, what? So that we can have dominion. That's rulership. That's kingship. That's power, control, and influence, and authority, what? Over all the earth and everything that he created from the earth, the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, all the plants, everything that comes from the earth, he gives you dominion over it and over all of the earth. Why? So that you can make it on earth just like it is in heaven. I told you, boy, his original intent was to make earth a colony of heaven. He ain't trying to get you to heaven. That's not where your list is. Contrary to a man's popular opinion and contrary to what religion is taught us, man, what? Hey, live right, man, so that you can get to heaven. And you're going to spend eternity in heaven, man, with God. That's not what God's plan and purpose and will is for your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't saying you ain't going to go to heaven, but that's not your eternal destination. One day, man, all those who were gone up to heaven coming back. Coming back where? To a new heaven, a new atmosphere, a new environment, and a new earth. And we shall reign on the earth forever, right? Fulfilling God's original intent and plan and purpose for your life. Religion prepare you to go to heaven. The kingdom prepare you, boy, to influence and impact and govern, man, the earth. Hallelujah. The heavens belong to God. The earth is the territory that he gave you and I to govern and influence and have dominion over, rulership over. What purpose? Our assignment is to make it on earth like it is in heaven. Not just to have a good church and prepare people to go to heaven, but to make earth a colony of heaven. That's his plan. That's his original plan. His strategy for doing that was to fill you and I with his spirit, with the Holy Spirit. That's why he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. What that? He breathed into man's spirit that's living in a physical body, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? So that could be a divine connection between God and man in heaven and earth. Say what, Arthur? Man, listen. His strategy for accomplishing his will, what his will is, that it be in our lives here on earth like it is in heaven. His strategy for accomplishing that is to fill you up with all of him, with his spirit. For what purpose, Arthur? So there can be a divine connection between you and God in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Because everything God is doing, it's not by power nor by might. It's by his spirit working in and through his family of sons called mankind. That's you and I. Some in male body, some in female body. What purpose again, Arthur? To establish his will on the earth. What's his will on the earth? That it be on earth just like it is in him. Glory to God. And then, man, our second petition is, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Give me on a daily basis everything that I have need of to accomplish that. What? Your will and your intent and your plan and your purpose for my life. What that is again? That it be on your our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. Glory to God. That's what God is doing. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. That's what God is doing. Now, I don't know what the church is doing. I don't know what the Muslims are doing, the Hindus are doing, the Buddhists are doing, the religious Christians are doing. But I know what God is doing. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Boy, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. So, boy, when I found out that scripture and read that scripture and came to the revelation of that scripture, I stopped seeking out what I could do for God, and I started seeking, man, what God can do for me. Say that again, Austin. Hey. Most of us, man, we don't want to seek what we can do for God, and that ain't no bad thing. That's a good thing. But what's greater than that, what's greater than what we can do for God, is what God can do for us. That's why he says, seek first, boy, the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing in the earth for us. What's religion? What we are doing in the earth for God. Say it again, brother. Hey, the kingdom of God is what God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing in the lives of mankind here on the earth. What's religion? Man's attempt to appease God. What man is doing for God. And listen, like I said, that ain't necessarily no bad thing. That's a good thing. Listen, just because something is a good thing don't necessarily mean it's the right thing. Say that again, brother Art. Hey, listen, just because it's a good thing don't necessarily mean it's the right thing. There are a lot of good things that's going up on the earth. That don't necessarily mean it's the right thing. But how you know what the right thing is? When you find out what God is doing in the earth. Not what man is doing in the earth. Not what government, man, human government is doing in the earth. But when you find out what God is doing in the earth. That's why Jesus said your number one priority as a believer is to seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. What's the kingdom of heaven? That's a literal place and the environment and the atmosphere and all the characteristics of that place. He said if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all of the kingdom of heaven will be added unto you, man, on a daily basis. The lifestyle of heaven, the governing system of heaven, the laws of heaven, the peace of heaven, the joy of heaven, the atmosphere and environment of heaven will be manifested in our lives on a daily basis. Well, how come it ain't being like that in the church? But the church ain't doing, man, what God say to do. What God say to do, seek first the kingdom of God. And all of the kingdom of heaven, man, all the things that you have need of, where is it? It's in the kingdom of heaven. How it gonna be added unto us on a daily basis? When we make seeking what God is doing, man, and getting in on what God is doing, our number one priority. That's why I say study, to show yourself approved, watch. Watch this. Not of man, but approved of God. Thank God for the approval of man. Thank God for the degrees and all of the how can I say it, Holy Spirit? Thank God for what we learn in our seminaries and in our Bible college and our Bible schools and our master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and doctor's degrees and PhD degrees and everything else. But all that is a degree. A degree. Some people got 4 or 5 degrees, man, you know, in theology and everything else. Man, they got 100 degrees on a thermometer. And all they got, man, is 1, 2, a associate degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, a PhD degree. And that's 5 degrees, man. You know, degrees are different there. Man, how many degrees do you think it got in God? And all we got is 5. I told you, got 100 degrees on a thermometer. And man, let me tell you something, man. That's why I say we can't get lifted up and puffed up, man, in knowledge and everything else. Because the Bible says, man, knowledge will puff you up. And man, get you ahead of, man, yourself and what God is doing. So you'll be preoccupied with your degrees and your everything else and miss out on the whole thing. The purpose for your degrees, man, so that you can grow in the knowledge of God's will for our lives. What's the will of God for our lives? Again, I keep on mentioning it, man. What? That it be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And boy, God is raising up men and women in this day, boy, as man coming to the knowledge of the gospel, boy, the most important gospel of all the gospel. The word gospel simply means glad tidings, good news. Hallelujah. But boy, there's a good news, man, that's been hid in the graveyard of religion, man. I don't think I'd be mistaken if I wouldn't say, man, for the last 1,800 years since Jesus Christ came. What does gospel mean again? Good news. There's a lot of good news in the Bible, but there's a specific one that's hid in the graveyard of religion. Jesus said it this way. It's gospel. What gospel are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. What's the good news about the kingdom? The good news about the kingdom is that's available to you right now. That ain't in a sweet by and by when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing going to be. That's in religion. I told you religion prepare you to go to heaven. The kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, man, it prepare, man, the kingdom of heaven to come to you. And that's what Jesus Christ brought up on it to this earth. That's what the prophecy prophesied about when he said, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. And the increase of his government, man, that shall be no end. The increase of that kingdom ain't going to be no end to it. What? The governing system, man, of the kingdom of heaven. The law that governs the kingdom of heaven. And how to live according to that governing system. Learn how to live according to those laws. Why? And how important that is, man, to learn, man, the governing system of God and the law that governs God's kingdom. Therein is the fulfillment of our lives and our purpose and our destiny. But when we are getting in on what God is doing, and boy, that's what God, man, summons you into his presence for. That's the purpose of this radio broadcast. For what, Arthur? To fulfill the original purpose, man, what God was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, when he said he gave unto men apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of their ministry. For what, Arthur? Until we all grow, man, in the knowledge of God's will and intent and desires for our lives. Until we all come to the place, man, where we are a stature of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it one more time. Hallelujah. What he did, he gave gifts to men. But he gave more overseers and leaders in the church, man, of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what, man? To train you up, man, for your ministry. The really purpose for churches, man, is to train up the body of Christ, training for reigning. What do you mean reigning? Ruling in life. over our circumstances, situations, and symptoms. And how are you going to get that done? Through the church. Through what part of the church? Through the fivefold ministry of the church. We preoccupied, man, with having good church and how good church was and how good your emotions were stirred up and how you felt in church and missed out, man, on the purpose for it. What the purpose for it again? Hallelujah. He gave to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the ministry? I told you, boy, God, man, created you, boy, to establish his kingdom upon his earth. That's your ministry. Hallelujah. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we become, boy, just like Christ. And boy, and do just like Christ, and walk just like Christ, and talk just like Christ, and live just like Christ, who was manifested in his earth to destroy the works of the devil. And boy, that's what he gave the fivefold ministry for, boy, for training for reigning, to help you and I come to the knowledge of who we really are, what we really can do, where we really come from, why we really here, where we going to really end up at. Those are mankind's age-old questions. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here? What can we do? And where are we going to end up at? And boy, therein is the fulfillment of life, boy, when you understand those questions and come to the knowledge of those questions and the answer to those questions and get in on there, boy, knowing who you really are. You're more than just a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Scientology or whatever religious denomination or title you might fall on. You are the offspring of the Most High God. You are the sons of the Most High God. You are the children of the Most High God. That's far above all them other titles that we fall upon, all them other religious titles that we fall upon. I'm talking about, boy, an offspring of God, a child of God. And if a son of God, then an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I ain't talking about church membership. I'm not talking about, man, you know, joining a church and signing a church roll and shaking a preacher's hand. I'm talking about, man, getting your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, having a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, man, so that you can know the truth. Hallelujah. What truth? The reality of who you really are. Where you really come from, why you really here, what we really can do. Let me tell you something. Man, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, all things that pertains to life and godliness. You listen, let me say it in a better way, the way Jesus said it. The work that I do, he didn't say you can. He said you shall do. Well, I'm going to go to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm going to send you back, boy, the same spirit that enabled me to do all the work that I did up on this earth. What? That divine connection, the Holy Spirit. Who? That divine connection between God and mankind in heaven and earth. For what purpose? So that you can fulfill the divine destiny and plan and purpose that God has for our lives. What it is again, Brother Arthur? For it being our life just like it is in heaven. So that as Jesus are, we continue becoming just like that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the knowledge of the full knowledge of Christ. And boy, I'm talking about till we become a fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ himself, till we live like him, talk like him, walk like him, act like him, be like him, do just like him. And until then, we got to keep doing just like what Paul said. Paul said, I have not apprehended it yet. I have not reached that mark yet. But one thing I do, man, I don't just get preoccupied with where I at. I keep on pressing on, man. I keep on going on, man, to the pride of that high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What's the high calling that's in Christ Jesus? To be just like it. And until we reach that mark, there's a going on in our goal. Going higher and higher and higher. Going to from our next to our next to our next. The Bible said it this way in the book of Corinthians, going from glory to glory to glory to glory until we reach the final destination, right? The express image of the Most High God. Why? Because that's how God created you. What he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's make mankind in our image and in our likeness, and let them, mankind, have dominion, rulership, kingship, authority, power, control, influence over what? Over all the earth. For what art again? For they, through the power of the Holy Ghost that is living on the inside of them, can make their territory, the earth, a colony of heaven. Why? Because that's God's original intent and plan and purpose for creating the earth and placing mankind, who he created in his image and likeness, bringing them down from heaven to the earth. But what assignment? So that they can have dominion over the earth. For what purpose, God? So that they can influence the earth. Good God Almighty. They can do what, other? So they can influence earth with help. So they can make it on earth just like it is in hell. Through religion, man, we've been doing just the opposite. We've been, man, preparing mankind to go to heaven. But all the time, man, our assignment, man, is to take over the earth, to impact the earth, to influence the earth. With what? With all of the attributes and character and nature and environment and atmosphere of hell. Good God Almighty. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know, boy, that God. He don't mind you find out about the gospel. Let me tell you something, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's good news. But man, let me tell you something, the devil's most successful tactic against us as believers is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. See, those are gospel too. But those gospels are mean to the original gospel, the original good news. What's the original good news? Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Listen, the gospel of faith, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, all those are means to an end. But you can't stop there. If you stop there, you'll be preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end, and you won't know what the end is. The end is for it to be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And can you imagine, man, if the church would have been continually preaching, man, what Jesus preached for the last 2,000 years since he's been gone? No, they've been preaching the means. And the church don't know nothing about the end. The church thinks its final destination is hell. The majority of the church, that's what they think. They find a destination when it all ends up there, that they're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. That ain't what the Bible teaches. Like I said earlier, man, I ain't say you ain't going to go to heaven. If you go to heaven, all you got to do is, man, if you saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and a child of God, to get to heaven, all you got to do is leave these physical bodies. All you got to do is die physically, and you're going to go to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you're going to go to heaven, man, when you die. But when it's all said and done, Revelation chapter 21 say, behold, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and I saw all God's people coming down back to the earth, to a new earth. I ain't talking about the earth like we have here now. I'm talking about the way God created it to be, man. Coming back, man, the whole earth going to be just like it was in Genesis chapter 1 in that little Garden of Eden that God placed mankind in. The Garden of Eden was simply, man, a little carbon copy of heaven placed for a moment, placed upon the earth with an open door into the literal presence of the Most High God. And the Bible says, and there he placed the man in heaven on earth. Hallelujah. And God established that. I ain't talking about what the church is doing. I'm talking about what God did, what God is doing. What he did, he established heaven on earth. And there he placed mankind in. And from that place, he told mankind to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and control. So do what? The earth. Hallelujah. From that place. And the only way you can do what I'm talking about doing, you got to be in that place. What's the Garden of Eden? That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's the governing influence of God, what God is doing on the earth. And it's in that place that God placed you and I, mankind, in. But from that place, we can fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. And only from that place can we fulfill our God-given destiny and accomplish, man, all the blessing of God that he blessed us with. He blessed us with everything that we have need of to fulfill his purpose and intent and plan for our lives. How are we? With all of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. What God blessed, there ain't no devil in hell can curse. Adam's disobedience can't stop that. That's why God, man, prepared a way out, man, for Adam's disobedience that turned the dominion that God gave him over to the devil, and the devil plunged our earth into what it is here today. But, man, God's original purpose ain't going to never change. Hallelujah. His plan changed, and something happened in the plan in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and them men rebel against the will of God. That's what sin is, to rebel against the known will of God. Lying and stealing and killing and adultery and coveting and all that, that's not sin. Those are the results of sin. That's what sin produces. Lord. Why? Because Adam and them men broke the law. They transgressed the law of God. God told them to rule and reign over the earth. They gave that dominion, man, over to the devil. In other words, they committed high treason. They gave aid and support to the enemy of God and mankind. They gave the dominion that God gave them over the earth to the devil. And instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. Well, that don't stop God, man, from fulfilling his purpose and plan. God already made man a provision for that even before the foundation of the world. What the Bible say? The Bible say, behold, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Good God Almighty. I'm telling you, boy, God love covered a multitude of sin. God already made plans, man, to fulfill his divine purpose for your life even before Adam and Eve them fell, even before Adam and Eve them committed the transgression of God's law. God already made the provision, man, ahead of time. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world for the redemption of mankind, so that boy, mankind's sin could be paid in full. For what purpose, Arthur? Not so that man he could have church and try to live the best he can to get to heaven, but so that mankind can be restored back to what God's plan and purpose was for his life that he established for us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. When he created us in his image and his likeness and provided a body for us and breathed into this body, into our spirit that lived in a body that he formed from the dust of the ground, the Holy Spirit, the ability of God, the power of God, the attributes of God, the nature of God, the character of God, the fullness of God, all that God is in the person of the Holy Spirit, boy, he placed on the inside of you and I. What purpose, Arthur? I say it again. So that divine connection between us and God in heaven and earth can be, boy, established. Boy. Because, boy, we could be just like our God. Boy. God say, be ye holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. So that we could be just like him. So that we could be just like him. So that we could be just like him. But if that's not, man, your desire, your intent, and your purpose for everything that you are doing in this earth, man, as far as your service to God, then you preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting sin. Listen, you are as holy as you are ever going to be. You are as righteous as you are ever going to be. You are as saved as you ever going to be. All you got to do is come to the knowledge of that, man, and start charting your course toward the destination, what? Holiness, righteousness, character, image, and likeness of the Most High God. Going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Each day, man, becoming more and more of who, watch this, of who you already are. You already saved. You already healed. We already delivered. We already provided for us. We already, man, just like our God. We already created in his image and likeness. All we got to do is come to the knowledge of it and keep growing in that. That's the original assignment of the church, man, in this day and time that we live in, is to equip us, man, with the knowledge of that so that we can get on course to what God is doing. And not only get on course to what God is doing, but come to the knowledge of that, man, and find out, boy, and start operating in that. start living according to the laws of the kingdom. I'm going to say that one more time. So we can just stop trying to live according to the law that God gave Moses. That's a good thing. But I'm talking about a greater thing. Well, I ain't talking about the law that God gave to Moses for the nation of Israel. I'm talking about the law that God gave all mankind, that which was from the beginning. What law are you talking about, Arthur? Let me tell you something. Can you imagine, man, what this earth would be like if we didn't have no law? If you can just kill anybody, man, won't nothing happen to you. If you can just take whatever you want to take, steal whatever you want to steal, lie, do whatever you committed. If you didn't have no law, can you imagine what this earth would be like? I'll tell you what it would be like. It'll be just like it was, man, when Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden and man found themselves in the wilderness experience. And they didn't have no law. In that time, boy, they were living in the dispensation of conscience. And the Bible said their conscience was so seared that, boy, between the time God made Adam and Eve and set them on course toward their destination and put them in the Garden of Eden, 1,700 years later after that, man, God sent the flood. Why? Because, boy, they rebel against the law of God, the original laws of God. And when they rebel against the original law of God, then they got put out of the Garden of Eden. They got put out of the presence of the Lord. They lost the Holy Spirit. And they found themselves in the wilderness without law. And the Bible says, man, why? Because they were living according to their conscience then. The Bible says man's conscience was so still that he repented God that he had made man. And God came down to the earth and found one man, Noah, and told Noah, man, to build an ark. Why? Because, man, I'm finna get rid of all these people here that are not living under the law. It had got so bad, man, that I'm talking about chaos was over all the earth. Can you imagine, man, like I say, what the earth would be like, man, if it didn't have no law? It would be just like it was in Noah's day, man. But boy, they killing anybody, wouldn't nothing happen. I'm not stealing, destroying, and living any kind of way. Without law. And boy, it cost me, and I'm talking about, boy, the God to come down here and destroy all the living things up on the earth. It'll be up on earth, man, just like it was in that day. Hallelujah. Chaos. Everything out of order, man. Everything, man, out of control. Without law. Because God is a God of law. Thank God for law, man. And like I say, can you imagine, man, if it was no law that I should not kill, man, you know, if you killed somebody, man, you wouldn't have to pay no restitution. If you stole anything or if you did covered, or you wouldn't have to pay no restitution. Can you imagine, man, they'd be killing like they was in that day and time, just killing up one another, just destroying mankind, destroying one another and destroying the earth. That's life without law. But God changed that. And God wiped all that off the face of the earth, man. And I'm talking about, boy, and man, after that, God established, man, a dispensation or a period in human history called, boy, the dispensation of human government. Where they start establishing, man, you know, different nations and different countries and under the laws of human government. Other countries, man. And let me tell you something, boy. One thing about other countries, man, let me tell you something, they're established by law. Why? Because that's God's original intent and plan and purpose. When God established, man, the kingdom of heaven on earth, he established laws to go along with it. There wasn't no law like he gave Moses. The primary law of the kingdom of heaven that the devil don't ever want you to know about. You don't mind you find out, man, about the laws of Moses. Because you know that in and of yourself, man, let me tell you something, you can't fulfill them laws. If it could, there wouldn't have been no need for God to send Jesus Christ. Why? Why you can't fulfill them laws? Because you're already lied. You're already, man, had other gods before the Lord your God. You're already committed, man, and broke all them laws. When God gave them laws to Moses, man, as soon as he came out of the mountain, man, they had broke the first law. They had, man, built a calf, man, a golden calf, and started worshiping the calf. When the first law said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Good God of mine. Before Moses could even give them the law, they'd already broke it. And by the works of those laws, shall no flesh be justified. It's a good thing. Now, I ain't saying you ain't supposed to live by the law. Listen, when Jesus Christ came to this earth and said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I come to fulfill the law. He wasn't talking about, man, you know, those laws, those divine laws. He was talking about those traditional laws, you know, where they had to offer up bulls and animals and all the sacrifices and wet turban and do all these other things. He said, I come to do away with the traditional laws, but not the divine laws. I come to establish the divine laws into your heart. Why? So that you're going to fulfill, man, get back to God, the original law, because that's how you establish, man, those divine laws that God gave Moses out, by getting back to the original law. Listen, we're going to begin a series, man, on learning, man, how to live in the kingdom of God and learning how to function in the kingdom of God so that, man, we could get all of our benefits that come along with, man, us being servants of the kingdom of God. Let me say something while I'm right here. Just like in this natural world, you know, you got insurance, perhaps like the insurance on your vehicles and everything else. You got liability and you got full coverage. Most believers just have liability. If they die, they're going to go to heaven. Why? Because they got liability. They've been saved. They've been born again. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're doing the best that they can, man, in order to, man, make it to heaven. That's liability, man, you know. But boy, let me tell you something. There's another type of insurance called full coverage. Liability just protect, man, the other person. You know what liability is. But if you got just insurance on your vehicle, man, and you have an accident and everything else, it's gonna provide for the other person, but your vehicle gonna be lost. They're gonna repair your vehicle. They're gonna repair the other person's vehicle. But if you got full coverage, it'll not only repair the other person's vehicle, it'll repair your vehicle too. So you can have just liability and going on and go to heaven, man, but your life will be lost. And your life, and you'll live far below our rights and privileges. We'll live like mere men and mere women. But all the time, we are the mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. But if you got full coverage and operating under those laws right there, then not only, man, do the other person's man vehicle get restored, but yours get restored too. You get compensated for yours too. You get healed too. You get delivered too. You get provided for too. You get restored too. You can go ahead on and live your life here on earth and go on and make it to heaven, man, and all you have is liability. When all the time, full coverage is available to every last one of us. For what purpose? So that you can be restored, not just redeemed. See, redemption is liability. But restoration, that's full coverage. Redeem is to redeem us from the curse of the law. And get us saved. But salvation is not the goal. Salvation is the means to the goal. What's the goal? Restoration. Restoration of your life and your purpose and your destiny and the fulfillment of our lives, hallelujah, where everything concerning us restored, everything that we lost in Adam, man, be restored back to us. What Adam lost? His sovereignty, his dominion, his raw power, his rulership, his kingship, his dominion over all the earth. That's what's been restored back to you. That's the full coverage that's available to every last one of us. That everything that we lost in Adam can be restored back to us. What praise offer? Where we can get back on course to God and praise and destination for our lives. And what that is again, that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. If you get off that course right there, then you'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See, that's a whole lot of world going on. That's a whole lot of men worried out there in the earth. Even concerning, man, the study of God. But Jesus Christ, man, made a specific statement. Watch what he said when he sent his disciples out to proclaim this good news. He said, man, when he sent them out two by two in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said, man, don't go to the lost sheep of Israel. I mean, don't go to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach this message. What? The kingdom of heaven. Cast out devils and heal the sick. See, then you tell them to go preach anything. Why? Because he know that if he just told them to go and preach, man, and then we all got our own messages. The Muslims got their message. The Hindus got their message. The Buddhists got their message. All these different religious organizations, the Christian religion got its message and everything else. Mankind got its message. Politicians got their message. Everybody got their message. Mankind got their message. And then there's another message, glory to God. That's the message that Jesus Christ came proclaiming, glory to God. And what he came preaching, he come preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Know what the good news about that he was preaching? That, boy, I come to restore that back to you. I come to bring that back to the earth. brought all the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. The governing influence of heaven, that territory, I couldn't bring that governing influence, not that religion, that governing influence, how that territory is governed, the laws that govern that territory. I couldn't bring that back to the earth so that you would get back under those laws and that governing influence instead of the governing influence of the earth. That's why the devil man and our country man try to separate church from state. Listen, man, church is state. Church is not a religious word, man. Church is a political word, really. Hallelujah. And boy, the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge, man, of this good news about this kingdom being restored back to us so that you won't preach that. That's the only message that he's afraid of, that he's terrified of, because he knows something. Why? When that message is preached, you say, this gospel, this means there's other gospels too, but you say, this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation, then the end going to come. And see, the devil know what's going to happen in the end. Him, the false prophet, the Antichrist, all the demons, man, that follow him, all the followers, all going to be cast into the lake of fire, never being able, man, to influence mankind in this earth no more. But boy, you're trying to prolong that by keeping you, man, from preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You don't mind you preaching all the other gospel that you preach. They ain't wrong. It's just a means to an end. Long as you don't get use those means to get to the end. Listen, let me say it as I close. That don't mean that those messages are wrong, but if they're not preached in the light of the let me say it how I can say it. They preached in the light of the redemptive work of God, but they're not preached in the light of the restoration work of God. The whole purpose for the redeeming work of God, the coming of Jesus Christ, the death, his burial, his resurrection, is so that you can be restored back to the original place. These are the laws that we're going to be talking about, boy, in the coming weeks, man. Number one law of the kingdom of God, the law of life. That's what God said in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The law of sowing and reaping. That's how to get what God said into our everyday experience here in our life. By us, man, putting in our mouth what God said, sowing that into our life. The law of faith, hallelujah, by having faith in, man, what God says about us. The law of love. By walking in love, loving the Lord our God and loving one another the same way God loved us. How he loved us, he looked past all our faults and mistakes and kept on loving us, man. The law of promise. What that is, I promise you, man, that everything that I plan for your life and desire for your life, I promise you that it's going to be fulfilled in your life. Living by faith according to the promises of God, glory to God. The law, man, of liberty. What's that, boy? Who the Son sets free, what we free from? The curse of the law of sin and death. Who the Son set free is free indeed. You can live this way free. Man, let me tell you something. Everything that bound us up, the traps and everything else that was set for our life, the traps have been sprung. But you and I got to come to the knowledge of it. And even though the traps have been sprung and open and everything else, you got to take your foot out the trap. All God's going to do is spring the trap. But if you just leave your foot in the trap, then you're going to continually be bound when all the time you were as free as you ever going to be. Because of a lack of knowledge of it, you leave your foot in the trap when all the time the trap has been sprung. That's a law in the kingdom called a perfect law of liberty. You can stay bound up by religion or you can walk in liberty. Hey, listen, church, my time is over with, man, and I appreciate you allowing me and my family, my wife, Gail, and I to share the gospel of the kingdom into your life. And this is what our prayer is, that you be filled with the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. That's the most important message of all the messages. In fact, I say this here, that's the message that the church is supposed to be preaching. That message, the gospel of the kingdom. And all the other good news is incorporated in it. But you can preach all the other good news, the redemptive message, and never say nothing about the kingdom. Hey, listen, y'all, if we could be a further help, you can contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry.